Welcome back, everyone. Except you, Othniel. Yeah, he knew not to even show up today. Hey, it's a new week, Chip. It's Monday.
Yes, Eric.
Oh.
It is.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys that Chip became Batman over the weekend.
It's day 92.
Okay.
And we're going to read, whether you like it or not.
Oh.
Judges.
Yeah.
Chapters 8 and
9. Uh-huh.
And we're going to finish another book, Eric.
Good.
So get happy about it right now.
Okay, man, I'm happy.
We're going to finish 1 John. We're going to read 1 John chapter 5.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Batman game. I love that. I've always kind of considered Chip a sort of Batman. That's why I have a picture of him in my home.
Thanks, Eric.
On my shelf, and it says my hero.
You still got that.
Huh? I do, man.
That's good. Yeah, that was a good move.
What a great thing.
That was a
That's
great
from
thing.
The first week of me working here.
I know.
And it's still in my office.
It's so good.
And I promise you, as long as I have an office,
yeah,
that picture will be there.
I don't doubt it.
Okay, good.
I know you're going to pass it on to your kids.
And the frame will get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, sure.
Just keep getting like a bigger frame on a small.
That's fine.
It's going to be awesome. Okay.
Here we go.
Gideon's going to kill some people.
Uh-oh.
Gideon kills Zeba and Zalmunna. Then the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to fight the Midianites?" And they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't even the leftover grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abiezer? God gave you victory over Oreb and Zeb, the commanders of the Midianite army. What have I accomplished compared to that?" When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, their anger subsided. Gideon then crossed the Jordan River with his 300 men. Though exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. When they reached Succoth, Gideon asked the leaders of the town, "Please give my warriors some food. They are very tired. I am chasing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." But the officials of Succoth replied, "Catch Zeba and Zalmunna first, and then we will feed your army." So Gideon said, "After God gives me victory over Zeba and Zalmunna, I will return and tear your flesh with the thorns and briars from the wilderness." From there, Gideon went up to Peniel and again asked for food, but he got the same answer. So he said to the people of Peniel, "After I return in victory, I will tear down this tower." By this time, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with about 15,000 warriors, all that remained of the allied armies of the east, for 120,000 had already been killed. Gideon circled around the caravan route east of Noba and Jokabeha, taking the Midianite army by surprise. Zeba and Zalmunna, the two Midianite kings, fled, but Gideon chased them down and captured all their warriors. After this, Gideon returned from the battle by the way of the Heres Pass. There, he captured a young man from Succoth and demanded that he write down the names of all 77 officials and elders in the town. Gideon then returned to Succoth and said to the leaders, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna. When we were here before, you taunted me, saying, 'Catch Zeba and Zalmunna first, and then we'll feed your exhausted army.' Then Gideon took the elders of the town and taught them a lesson, punishing them with thorns and briars from the wilderness. He also tore down the tower of Peniel and killed all the men in the town. Then Gideon asked Zeba and Zalmunna, 'The men you killed at Tabor, what were they like?' 'Like you,' they replied, 'they all had the look of a king's son.' 'They were my brothers, the sons of my own mother,' Gideon exclaimed. 'As surely as the Lord lives, I wouldn't kill you if you hadn't killed them.' Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said, 'Kill them.' But Jether did not draw his sword, for he was only a boy and was afraid. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said to Gideon, 'Be a man, kill us yourselves.' So Gideon killed them both and took the royal ornaments from the necks of their camels."
Gideon's sacred ephod. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, "Be our ruler. You and your son and your grandson will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian." But Gideon replied, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over you. However, I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from the plunder you collected from your fallen enemies." The enemies, being the Ishmaelites, all wore gold earrings. "Gladly," they replied. They spread out a cloak, and each one threw in a gold earring that he had gathered from the plunder. The weight of the gold earrings was 43 pounds, not including the royal ornaments and pendants, the purple clothing worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains around the necks of their camels. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it in Ophrah, his hometown, but soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it and became a trap for Gideon and his family. That is the story of how the people of Israel defeated Midian, which never recovered. Throughout the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 years, there was peace in the land. Then Gideon son of Joash, returned home. He had 70 sons born to him, for he had many wives. He also had a concubine in Shechem who gave birth to a son whom he named Abimelech. Gideon died when he was very old, and he was buried in the grave of his father Joash at Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer. As soon as Gideon died, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping the images of Baal, making Baal, Berith, their god. They forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them, nor did they show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, despite all the good that he'd done for Israel.
Judges chapter 9. Abimelech rules over Shechem. One day Gideon's son Abimelech went to Shechem to visit his uncles, his mother's brothers. He said to them and to the rest of his mother's family, "Ask the leading citizens of Shechem whether they want to be ruled by all 70 of Gideon's sons or by one man, and remember that I am your own flesh and blood." So Abimelech's uncles gave his message to all the citizens of Shechem on his behalf. After listening to this proposal, the people of Shechem decided in favor of Abimelech because he was their relative. They gave him 70 silver coins from the temple of Baal Berith, which he used to hire some reckless troublemakers who agreed to follow him. He went to his father's home at Ophrah, and there, on one stone, they killed all 70 of his half-brothers, the sons of Gideon. But the youngest brother, Jotham, escaped and hid. Then all the leading citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo called a meeting under the oak beside the pillar at Shechem and made Abimelech their king.
Jotham's parable. When Jotham heard about this, he climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem. Listen to me if you want God to listen to you. Once upon a time, the trees decided to choose a king. First, they said to the olive tree, 'Be our king.' But the olive tree refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing the olive oil that blesses both God and the people just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then they said to the fig tree, 'You, be our king.' But the fig tree also refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing my sweet fruit just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then they said to the grapevine, 'You, be our king.' But the grapevine also refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing the wine that cheers both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then all the trees finally turned to the thorn bush and said, 'Come, you be our king.' And the thorn bush replied to the trees, 'If you truly want to make me your king, come and take shelter in my shade. If not, let the fire come out from me and devour the cedars of Lebanon.'" Well, Jotham continued, "Now make sure you have acted honorably and in good faith by making Abimelech your king, and that you have done right by Gideon and all the descendants. Have you treated him with honor he deserves for all he accomplished? For he fought for you and risked his life when he rescued you from the Midianites. But today, you have revolted against my father and his descendants, killing his 70 sons over on one stone. And you have chosen his slave woman's son, Abimelech, to be your king, just because he is your relative. If you've acted honorably and in good faith toward Gideon and his descendants today, then may you find joy in Abimelech, and may he find joy in you. But if you have not acted in good faith, then may fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leading citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo, and may fire come out from the citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo and devour Abimelech." Then Jotham escaped and lived in Beer because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech.
Shechem rebels against Abimelech. After Abimelech had ruled over Israel for 3 years, God sent a spirit that stirred up trouble between Abimelech and the leading citizens of Shechem, and they revolted. God was punishing Abimelech for murdering Gideon's 70 sons, and the citizens of Shechem for supporting him in this treachery of murdering his brothers. The citizens of Shechem set an ambush for Abimelech on the hilltops and robbed everyone who passed that way, but someone warned Abimelech about their plot. One day, Gaal, son of Ebed, moved to Shechem with his brothers and gained the confidence of the leading citizens of Shechem. During the annual harvest festival at Shechem, held in the temple of the local god, the wine flowed freely and everyone began cursing Abimelech. "Who is Abimelech?" Gaal shouted. "He's not a true son of Shechem. So why would we be his servants? He's merely a son of Gideon, and this Zebul is merely his deputy. Serve the true sons of Hamor, the founder of Shechem. Why should we serve Abimelech? If I were in charge here, I would get rid of Abimelech. I would say to him, 'Get some soldiers and come out and fight.'" But when Zebul, the leader of the city, heard what Gaal was saying, he was furious. He sent messengers to Abimelech in Arumah, telling him Gaal, son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to live in Shechem, and now they are inciting the city to rebel against you. Come by night with an army and hide out in the fields. In the morning, as soon as it's daylight, attack the city. When Gaal and those who are with him come out against you, you can do with them as you wish. So Abimelech and all his men went by night and split into four groups, stationing themselves around Shechem. Gaal was standing at the city gates when Abimelech and his army came out of hiding. When Gaal saw them, he said to Zebul, "Look, there are people coming down from the hilltops." Zebul replied, "It's just the shadows on the hills that look like men." But again Gaal said, "No, people are coming down from the hills, and another group is coming down the road past the diviner's oak." Then Zebul turned on him and asked, "Now where is that big mouth of yours? Wasn't it you that said, 'Who is Abimelech, and why should we be his servants?' The men you mocked are right outside the city. Go out and fight them." So Gaal led the leading citizens of Shechem into battle against Abimelech. Abimelech chased him, and many of Shechem's men were wounded and fell along the road as they retreated to the city's gate. Abimelech returned to Arumah, and Zebul drove Gaal and his brothers out of Shechem. The next day, the people of Shechem went out into the fields to battle. When Abimelech heard about it, he divided his men into three groups and set an ambush in the fields. When Abimelech saw the people coming out of the city, he and his men jumped up from their hiding places and attacked them. Abimelech and his group stormed the city gate to keep the men of Shechem from getting back in, while Abimelech's other two groups cut them down in the fields. The battle went on all day before Abimelech finally captured the city. He killed the people, leveled the city, and scattered salt all over the ground. When the leading citizens who lived in the tower of Shechem heard what had happened, they ran and hid in the temple of Baal Berith. Someone reported to Abimelech that the citizens had gathered in the temple, so he led his forces to Mount Zalmon. He took an axe and chopped some branches from a tree, then he put them on his shoulder. "Quick, do as I have done," he told his men. So each of them cut down some branches, following Abimelech's example. They piled the branches against the walls of the temple and set them on fire. So all the people who had lived in the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech attacked the town of Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower inside the town, and all the men and women, the entire population, fled into it. They barricaded themselves in and climbed up to the roof of the tower. Abimelech followed them to attack the tower, but as he prepared to set fire to the entrance, a woman on the roof dropped a millstone that landed on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. He quickly said to his young armor bearer, "Draw your sword and kill me. Don't let it be said that a woman killed Abimelech." So the young man ran him through with his sword, and he died. When Abimelech's men saw that he was dead, they disbanded and returned to their homes. In this way, God punished Abimelech for the evil he had done against his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also punished the men of Shechem for all their evil. So the curse of Jotham, son of Gideon, was fulfilled.
Ugh. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah. Let's read something happy.
I'll give you a break there, and we're going to move to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to finish the book of 1 John today.
You can read the whole thing, Chip.
Okay, thanks. 1 John chapter 5, faith and the Son of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe, they are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Conclusion. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make a request, we know what he will give us, what we ask for. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. We should know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. For we know we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding, so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts.
And that is our reading today. That is our reading today. And while you read 1 John, I appreciate you doing that. I went out and I hate to confess this to you. I stole the chains off of your camel's necks.
Well, thanks for telling me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I noticed your camels had fine bling and I decided to take them.
They do nothing but the best for my camels, and they will be upset about that. But if you need them, that's fine.
That's fine.
But thanks for telling me.
All right, Chip. How does this help you love God more?
Man, I love, and this has nothing to do with loving God more. I love how he uses a woman to kill Abimelech.
Oh, it's so good.
So, you know, not part of that culture that day, but that was kind of cool. But I love God because I can know I have eternal life. I can know, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, like that's the assurance of my salvation because of what he has done for me, what Jesus has done for me. So we can know that we have eternal life. We don't have to guess or wonder or hope. I played that game many years ago, and it's not fun, and about ready to give up on that. And but I decided to say, okay, I'm going to look at God's word, not what people tell me, not what tradition says, not what people believe, but what does God say? Mm-hmm. And it says that I can know that I have eternal life because of what he has provided for me with the sacrifice of his son, Jesus, who died instead of me. And I believe in him. I accept him as my savior who stood in my place. Therefore, I can know I have eternal life because of him. So
yeah,
I love him more because of that.
That's awesome.
Because I experienced that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
This shows me how to love others better by the bad example of Sukkoth and Peniel, the people who saw Gideon doing the Lord's work. And when he said, look, I'm not asking you to come with me and join me, but just like, can you just support me? And they said, yeah, get the work done first. Man, that is, it's hard to equate that to today, but I think what it looks like is putting the mission before the people, you know, and saying like,
oh yeah,
you know, when your ministry is doing well enough, then I'll be on board, right?
Yeah.
When your life is on track, then I'll be on board. When you reach this person, then I'll be on board.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I see you're in need. I see that a little support would go a long way here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to jump in on the ground floor. I believe in you. I'm going to support you. Mm-hmm. We're going to get this thing done. You know, and I think, man, when we ignore that, that's a real problem. So I can love others better by not waiting for evidence before I support them. Evidence of, you know, they knew what Gideon was doing. They knew he was on a mission for God, but they were mocking him.
Yeah.
Because 300 men were chasing 15,000 and they did not think he was going to win.
Mm.
You know, so why would they waste his supplies? So I think believe in the radical mission that God gives to people.
Yeah.
Get behind them, support them.
Yeah.
And jump on board.
Yeah. That's well said. I was taught, thank the Lord, I had great mentors that taught me, do not put the programs over the people.
Yeah.
You know, and so many times we get it backwards where we put the programs over people and we believe in the program and not the people. Mm-hmm. And where God uses people to accomplish his program. So make sure they're his programs.
Yeah.
So support the people, bless the people, come alongside the people as they accomplish God's program. So that is so good. I love it.
Because later on when they're wearing the camel's chains around.
Yep.
Like the gold chains, and I'm picturing a giant clock on each of these camels as well.
Yeah.
When they're looking good, you're going to look like an idiot because you're going to have no tower.
Yeah.
You're going to have thorns and thistles from the wilderness.
Thistles.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's what you get.
Oh, it's what you get.
And he doesn't say what kind of lesson he taught them. So I like to think that he filled their beds with thorns and thistles.
He did.
So they all went to bed at the same time. They've all got their old timey nightcaps on. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Got their jammies on. Yeah.
They go to get in their bed. They're like, thorns and thistles.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Actually, that is not what happened.
Oh, great.
Who let him in?
Othniel. Oh my gosh. No one likes you, man. Go away.
Come on.